Jesus makes the difference. I, while they were singing, I was thinking about something I'd been thinking about a whole lot here lately. The Bible says that we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted by Him and in Him. And, you know, we don't... a lot of times, think of it that way, that God accepts us. God accepts you just like you are. Amen. And God accepts us as a sinner, but He loves us so much that He changes us. Amen. But then even after we're changed, listen, we're not perfect, but He accepts us. Amen. And we have to accept the fact that He accepts us. Amen? And that you can find a lot of peace when you accept that He has accepted you. Amen? He accepts us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Through and by His sacrifice. Amen? Well, it sure is good to have Brother Tim McCann here with us and his wife. So, Brother Tim, would you come?
Mark chapter number 12, and appreciate you being here this Wednesday night, and I'll say a couple things before I preach. Number one, youngins, you did a tremendous job singing, and wonderful. Those of you that ain't youngins, you did a tremendous job singing, all right, and everything was going good till the preacher stepped up over here, and he started singing with you, and so it went all downhill from now. I'm just picking, and it's a good to be here, and and it's been a long time since we've been up this way, and it was wonderful to come back this way, and a lot of memories traveling the roads, and this time I had to call Brother Mark, make sure I was even heading in the right way, and so. Sometimes your car will take you places that you're not supposed to be going. They're called smart cars, but I don't know about that. And they're not too smart, smartphones and all that stuff. But anyway, it is good to be here, and we're honored to be here with you a few days and try to be a help and a blessing to you. And I'm going to start out simple tonight and on what I believe one of the most important things is young people, middle-aged people, and older folk, wherever you go from there to the grave, and here in Mark chapter number 12, and I think it's the key to everything, and we have no doubt, preacher just got done talking about, the Lord has accepted us in the Beloved. We have no doubt about His love. I understand His love. In a sense, I don't understand why He would love me, but we understand that He loves us tonight. And there's no question to that. We don't have to question that. We don't have to really do a lot of deep studying on that, whether God loves us or not. We know that God loves us. And that's a for sure thing when you study your Bible. And so, but there is another kind of love in here I want us to look at tonight. And it's not necessarily His love, but it's our love. And I believe everything with young people, everything with mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, and I used to, when I would say grandma and grandpa, I thought of folk that were retired and things like that, but now I'm a grandpa, and I'm not retired. And so, but to everybody tonight, one of the most important things in your Christian life is love. It's hard for God to do anything outside of a youth group. It's hard for God to do anything outside of a church if there is no love. And loving God is more than just words tonight. And we're going to see that here in these verses. And as the Lord is talking to some folk that have a lot of questions, and they're asking them a lot of questions here in Mark chapter number 12. But I want to begin reading in verse number 29 and read a few verses here, and we'll get into where we're at and hopefully be a help to you. And you give me your ear tonight and listen tonight. And Lord willing, I'll preach quickly, all right? The Bible said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love him, to love his neighbor as himself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And we'll stop reading right there, but I want you to look at verse number 30. As everybody knows this verse, it's not a strange verse by any means, but here's what Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now watch this. Of everything that we read in our Bible, of everything that I preach on and everything your pastor preaches on, of everything we look into in our Christian life and try to grow, and especially young people tonight, and understanding when you're at a younger age, you're trying to figure out not necessarily what you are. I hope you don't have that problem this evening, all right? I know the rest of the world does. And but it's where we put our priorities. It's where we put our emotion. It's where we put our investment. It's where we put our love, all right? And here in this verse, Jesus said like this, that we are to love the Lord thy God with everything that we have. That's what he said. This is the first commandment. But I like what he said in verse number 31 in the latter part. There is none other commandment greater than these. And he's speaking of loving God, loving thy neighbor. He said of all things, there's nothing even greater. There's nothing you're going to find in the Bible that's any greater than loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all right? Nothing greater. You can look through here and say, well, I want to do this and I want to be this. I want to live like this. I want to be able to do this in life. And that's good. But at the end of the day, there's nothing greater than having a love for God that's real, that's true, and it's not fickled out in this world, all right? And it's more, again, than just having a fond thought. It's more than having faith. Favorable thoughts about who God is. And the word love is thrown around among Christianity today about, oh yeah, preacher, I do love God. And there's a man that lives just above me, and years ago he came to church a few times. He's came here recently a time or two, and he's a drunk, he's an alcoholic, and every time I see him, most of the time it's at the store, and he's coming out and I'm walking in, and he's always got a beer, and when he sees me he'll do this. And I say, you put that behind your back. I said, but God sees it. And he said, preacher, just listen to me. I love the Lord. That's what he says. I love the Lord. And he'll start talking to me, you know. He said, I know he loves me and I love him, and he overlooks this and he overlooks that and all this stuff. Listen, loving God is far more than just saying something. Loving God is far more than just having that favorable thought. And loving God is more than just being comfortable around Christian people. And loving God is far more than just talking spiritual things and being able to sit down with a preacher and say, well, preacher, I'll be honest with you, and just go down the road of spiritual talk and saying this and saying that. Listen, loving God is far deeper and far greater than any of those things. Loving God is far greater and far more than loving gospel music. As a lot of folk follow a bus around, they follow bands around and groups around. And if you talk to them on just a personal level, they say, oh, preacher, I love God. And boy, I love going and hearing so-and-so sing. I love going and hearing how this group sing. And I love it when our church puts on a singing. And listen, loving God is more than just loving good singing. Listen, watching some people insist that they love God is like a person trying to convince you of how much they love driving a Chevy, but yet they're pushing a Ford. Now, we need to get a witness on a Chevrolet, all right? But it is. I mean, man, it's like somebody that one of my favorite soft drinks is Coke. It's like somebody saying, man, I really love Coke, but they're drinking a Pepsi. You know? People say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. But listen, simply saying that you love God this evening is not the deciding factor of whether you love God or not. All right? We do not define our love for God, but God defines our love for Him. When it comes to loving God, our declaration will never supersede God's definition of what love really is about. Listen, we can never, never, never override God's criteria of what He says in the Bible, that if you love me, then this is who you are, and this is what you are, and this is how you'll live. R.A. Torrey said it like this: if loving God with all of our heart and soul and might is the greatest commandment, then it follows that not loving Him that way must be the greatest sin. And so what He is saying is this: if God said that for you, listen, the greatest of all things, the greatest of all commandments, you would think, well, I don't like thieves. Well, I don't like thieves neither. Well, I don't like liars. I don't like liars either. And I don't like murderers. I don't like murderers either. And all those are good commandments, if you will, in the Bible. And I love them all. But He said the greatest of all of those is loving God. And I'm just saying this evening that if you're young, it's good now to, listen, I know you're looking here and you're looking there, you're thinking about careers, you're thinking about school, you may be thinking about marriage, you may be thinking about a retirement one day or whatever it is you're thinking about, but I want to tell you something, you got to get your mind on loving God, because when you love God, listen, all the other things will come a whole lot of, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. And so loving God is the priority of everything that we do. And if there's one thing that I want our young people at our church, and one thing I'm talking about from the youngest all the way to the oldest of our teens, it's that I want them to be real and love God with all their heart. And to love God doesn't mean you got to be some weirdo neither, all right? It doesn't mean you're just some outcast from over here. Oh, they're them weird Jesus people. No, 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 no. That is not what it means to love God. Some people say, well, preacher, people make fun of you. And listen, loving God ain't a cool thing. Well, who wants to be cool anyway? But look at our text tonight. He said this: with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength, this is the first commandment. The word all is mentioned four times, and so I think He is putting the emphasis on our everything. All. The number four in the Bible is the number of world, of the world, or the number of creation. And you begin to think about the number of the world, the number of creation. When we think about that, we think about when it comes to direction. There's four directions in life. There's north, south, east, and west. And we think about the four elements of the earth, the water, the wind, the fire. And so our world, our existence should revolve around our love for God. Again, we know God's love for us. We know God loves us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand that God loves us, but do we understand whether we love Him or not? Everything in the universe, everything that you do, everything revolves around your love for God. I want you to think about this. I'm trying to get to where I'm getting to, all right? When it comes to your love, it's your love that defines you. Your love for God will define you. It will determine the decisions you make in life, and we don't have time to preach all them tonight. It'll be the defining factor of all the influences that you have in your life. It'll be the determining factor of all the influences that influences you in life. It determines what kind of friendship you're going to have in life. It determines what kind of relationship you're going to have in life. I'm talking about your love for God. When you love God, it's going to determine all those things. It affects your life. It affects your dreams. It affects your hopes. It affects your ambitions. Your love for God, it defines everything about your life. Your lack of love for God, it defines everything in your life. And so tonight I want to preach on this: do I love God? Again, I don't decide and I don't define whether I love God or not. And you can't define whether you love God or not. The Bible does that. God defines what love is. God defines on whether we love Him or not. God said, if ye love me, and He goes through a list of things we'll talk about here in just a minute. So do I love God tonight? And I want you to think about that. And I'm not talking about words, and I'm not talking about on the basis of things. I'm not just talking about off the cuff. If somebody asks you, do you love God? Yeah, I love God. But really, do you love God? Do you love Him? Do you like Him? I mean, buddy, do you find yourself, just enamored with the love of God? Just something about Him that's precious, something about Him that draws you to Him in the daytime to speak to Him and pray to Him and praise Him and worship Him. And one of the things that being married, when you get married one day, young people, is you get a husband or you get a wife, and if you're a male, you get a female. If you're a female, you get a male, all right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But listen, there's just something about having a spouse in life. There's something about it. It's not about I like my wife. It started that way, but now I love my wife. I love her. And it's not just on the good days. I love her. And I think if you ask her, she would say, yeah, he loves me. Maybe. I hope so. Do I love you? I love her. And you know what it's like if you're married, or maybe if you're thinking about getting married and you've seen that one nice looking hot dude. And listen, man, this dude up here just said something about welding. That's a good guy. That's what I went to school for. Now you see where I am. So the future's bright for you, all right? I went to school for welding. We got a welding shop back home. But I'm a pastor, so I don't get to do a lot of welding anymore. I do some, but not a whole lot. But listen, I don't know what it is, but my wife, there's something about, I just love her. I'm committed to her. It's not just words. When I tell her I love her, if that's all it was just words, it would be hard to convince her of that. But it's the life we live together. It's the fellowship that we have together. It's the communion that we have together. It's the intimacy that we have together. It's those things all together that proves my love to her and her love to me. Do I love God this evening? And I want you to think about this. Our love for God, to whatever extent it may be, is just a response of His love for us. You see, the Bible said that we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. That's the only reason we can love Him, is because He first loved us. Amen. Someone once said that the greatest reason to love God is God. The greatest reason to love Him is just because of Him. And I say amen tonight to that thought. And I think about this. All through the Bible, He speaks about love, and He speaks about a command to love. And it's one of those things. Every time you read the word love, and Jesus is speaking of love, it's always a clear command from the Bible to love the Lord. And Titus chapter number 2, the aged women are commanded to teach the younger women on how to love their children and how to love their husband. And listen, it's a commandment that He tells the women to do. But listen to me, it's a choice they have to make. Because just because God commands it, and just because God said it, it doesn't mean that women do it. In Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says, for the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so the command is there that you are to love her just as much as I've loved the church. You're to give yourself to her just like I gave myself to the church. And listen, but it's a choice that you have to make. It's not just something you're going to wake up one morning and have this love for God that you've never had before. No, it's a daily choice every morning when you wake up. You fall in love with God again, that He woke you up, that He gave you another day, that He gave you another chance. You didn't wake up in hell. Your name's written in heaven. And listen, every day of your life, it's a choice that you have to make. And in Mark chapter number 12, again, we're commanded to love God. He said here in this text again that we are to love the Lord thy God with all. It's not some uncontrollable action. It's not something, listen, we're not Calvinists around here. We don't believe in irresistible grace from Him, and He don't believe in irresistible love from us. Listen, no, you can resist to love Him. Loving God is a choice that you have to make. Loving God is a daily thing. Loving God is an exercise of the free will of man. You can choose to love Him or you can choose not to love Him. Just like we can choose to love one another or not love one another. If you do love God, listen to me, it is not by accident. And it is not by chance. It is not just because you was raised in a good godly home. And it is not just because you got a good Baptist church that you got to. If you love God tonight, you love God because you loved Him on purpose. Amen. Loving God is a choice. But I'll say this, God knows tonight whether you really love Him or not. He does. Again, we can go around talking about, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. But the truth of the matter is, He knows that. He knows that. He understands that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And the Bible said in John 21, He said, He that saith unto me, He saith unto him the third time, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And He said unto him, notice what Peter said, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. And so what I'm saying is this, God knows. God knows. And He sees, He knows the seat of our emotions. He knows our heart. He knows it better than you do. He knows it better than I do. And listen, He knows if you love Him or not. In John chapter number 5 and verse 42, He said, But I know you that ye have not loved the love of God in you. What He said? He said, I know you. And the love of God's not even in you. And I don't know about you this evening, but I don't want God looking at me and saying that to me. I don't want God in heaven when I'm praying and saying, God, I love you, I thank you, I praise you. And listen, I don't want God sitting in heaven saying, No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And listen, God knows whether or not if you love Him. And but not only does God know whether or not if you love Him, others know whether you love God or not. The Bible said, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. There's some people, I'll be honest with you, there's just question marks above their name. When I think about them, when I picture them, listen, I pastor a Baptist church too. And listen, and sometimes they may even say something in a testimony, and I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, I've got ringing in my ears and tinnitus or whatever that's called in my head, and I'm just sitting here, I'm like, well, did I hear them right? Did they really say they loved God? I mean, I've seen them two times this month. I've seen it, I mean, they're always gone. They're not here, and they're here, they're there, they're here, they're there. And this is what I'm saying. God knows, but others know if you love them or not too. If any man love God, listen, the same is known to him. There's some people, listen, they don't ever have to stand up and say, Preach, I just want to say I love God. Listen, I know they do. There ain't nobody. My mama don't have to tell me she loves God. You want me to tell you why? I know she loves God. It's known of her. I see it in her life. Listen, our love for God is going to be evident in our lives, all right? People are going to understand that. People are going to see that. And we'll have a testimony that we love God, or we'll have a testimony that we do not love God. And it's going to be defined, again, not by the words that we say and not by the actions that we do, but our love for God is evident because of the evidence of the Bible that God said, here is how people can know that you love me. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. And here's what he said, that anathema, and I'm not a Greek man by any means, but it literally means a person or a thing that's doomed to destruction, a curse. Maranatha means our Lord cometh, or will come. And God is saying, if a man don't love God, then listen, destruction's coming your way. And not only is destruction you're coming your way, the Lord's coming. Listen, people know whether you love God or not. Let me just say this. Your pastor knows whether you love God or not. Your Sunday school teacher knows whether you love God or not. Your neighbor definitely knows whether you love God or not. And mamas and daddies, your children know whether you really love God or not. And young people, your mom and daddy know whether you really love God or not. And listen, not loving God's a serious thing. You can lie to God about loving Him. You can lie to others about loving Him. But at the end of the day, the Bible said in 1 John 4, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he said he's a liar. And listen, I'm just saying, I'm an independent Baptist, and I've been in this thing 15 years now pastoring, 24 years being saved, and always been a part of the ministry as far as being raised. And the Bible said, now listen again, God defines what love is. Don't forget that. If you don't get anything else I preach tonight, don't forget God is the one who defines love. What love is and what love ain't. All right, is ain't a word up here? Okay. What love ain't. All right, and here's what he said. He said, if you don't love your brother, you're a liar. If you say, I love God, but you don't have love for your brother, you say, well, preacher, I just don't like him. Well, the Bible uses the word hate. And the word hate just has to do with bitterness, and you just can't stand them, you just disdain them, listen, he said, you're a liar, you don't love God. You don't. And so you can lie about loving God. And listen, I know Baptists because I are one. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of hate among the Baptist brethren. And there's a lot of hate among young people, even in churches. They get against each other, youth groups against each other, and even in the same church against each other. And but yet at the end of the day, they'll raise their hand. They'll say, I love God. And they'll testify that they love God. But listen, they got hate in their heart. They got despise in their heart. And they got that sitting in their heart, and God said, you can't love me and hate somebody else. You can't do that. You're a liar, he said. Your love for God, it can be diminished. The Bible said in Revelation, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. My love for God, it may be different next week than it is today. It can diminish. Things can happen. Circumstances of my life could change. And I could get bitter at God, and I could get upset with God, and my love could change. Your love could change. Something could happen. Circumstances change. Listen, you may get a better job, a bigger job, and a better paycheck at where you are, and you love God right now, and you'll raise your hand right now, and you'll testify to it right now. But buddy, when that paycheck starts coming in, and the days start getting longer, instead of 5 days a week, it's 6 days a week. Instead of 6 days a week, it's 7 days a week. And all of a sudden, that love for God begins to wane. The Bible said here of this church of Revelation that, listen, he said, I do have somewhat against thee. He said, you've left your first love. That means they were in love with him at some point in time in life, but because of things and riches and no doubt life in general, they left their first love, which was God. Didn't mean they didn't just, they hated God. He just wasn't number one anymore. And I'd say there's a lot of Christians this evening that are living that life. God is not number one right now. There's a lot of young people. God's not number one right now. You don't just hate God. It's just, well, preacher, my mind, my heart, my life is sort of, I got a lot going on. I'm young. I'm trying to figure this out and this out. And that's good. That's good. But you got to keep God in first place. He's got to be your number one lover. He's got to be number one on the love list. He's got to be number one that you talk with, number one that you pay attention to. And listen, loving God requires attention. Joshua said, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Take heed unto yourselves. and that you love Him. It's a priority. It requires your attention. It's services like this. It's meetings like this, that, or maybe Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and the preacher preaches on the simplicity of love, and maybe God's love for you or your love for God. And listen, it's that moment that it requires your attention to think about. If we want to see revival, if we want to be greater for God, if we want to do more for God and be more for God and be a better Christian, have a good godly lifestyle, find a godly wife and find a godly husband and find a godly job and find what it is that God has for us in our life, it requires our attention to our love for Him. Our love for Him. I'm convinced, listen, as long as you love Him, everything's going to be all right. It doesn't mean that bad times doesn't come. It doesn't mean that there's not storms. It doesn't mean you ain't going to walk through the valley. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that you love Him. You love Him. No matter what, I'm going to love God. And so I want you to think about what it means to love God tonight. It takes me longer to preach an introduction than it does a message. There's a number of reasons why we should love Him tonight. Number one, I want to say because He first loved us. Herein is love, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Listen, why should I love Him? Because He loves you. It's so much easier to love somebody that you know loves you. Did you know that? It is. I don't know about you, but I hope none of you men or none of you women have to live like this, but it'd be hard being married to somebody that doesn't love you and you love them and respect them for who they are. That's just like, I mean, listen, you take two cats, you've got a unity, but you don't have union between them. You can tie their tails together, you know, and you got a union, but you don't have unity. But you take a man and a woman that really love one another, both of them are going to play their roles the way they're supposed to. It's going to be easy for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. It's going to be easy for the wife to submit to the authority of the husband and be a submissive wife to him, and because she knows that he loves her, and she knows that he loves her, and he knows that she loves him. And I'm saying tonight, listen, we love God. We ought to love God because He first loved us. He gave His Son to die for our sin. But not only should we love God because He first loved us, but we should love Him because He's forgiven us tonight. Listen, the Bible said this, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Listen, we ought to love God tonight just because our sins ain't against us. While walking down a memory road over here, not so long ago, and old Satan comes by sometimes, he reminds us of our past, he reminds us of who we are, he reminds us of where we've been and everything that we've did, but thank God this evening that we can look at him and we can tell him it's under the blood. We ain't got to worry about it. Praise his dear name. We don't have to worry about our sin. It's gone, it's washed away, and it'll never ever be brought up again, and we ought to love him this evening because he has forgiven us of all of our sin. Not only that, but he's faithful this evening. The psalmist said, "Oh, love the Lord and all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer." Listen, we ought to love him. He's faithful. We ought to love him because psalmist said, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice in supplication." Listen, he hears our prayers. There's some things my wife may want me to do and ask me to do that I just can't do. There's things that she's been through in life and I've been through in life and you've been through in life, and we've tried to console one another. We've tried to help one another and we've tried to encourage one another. And when you get down, and sometimes a husband just can't do what needs to be done for her, and sometimes a wife just can't do what needs to be done for him, and sometimes a mom and daddy just can't do what the children need, and sometimes the children just can't do what mom and daddy needs as far as a miracle or something happened in our life. But thank God that we have a God that we can pray to and supplicate with and ask him, and he hears and he answers our prayers. Thank God for that. And listen, we ought to love him because of that. We ought to love him because He takes bad things and he takes good things and he puts them right together. And the Bible said, for we know that he works all things together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We all love him this evening. He works it all out. You may be going through a bad time now, but listen, there's a reason for it. And he knows that. And he'll help you with that. And we all love him because he understands that about it. But what does the Bible mean when we ask the question, do you love God? How do you define that? What does the Bible define that? I want to say, number one, this evening, and here's what I'm trying to get to, and it ain't going to take me long to preach this. When we think about our demonstration of love for God, what it really means to love God, and I mean what it really means to love God. Young people, what it really means to love Him. To love God, number one, means that you're in compliance with the Scripture. Loving God means that you are in compliance with the Scripture. Now watch this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is that not what he said? The Bible said that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. All right, now that's what God said. Again, God defines our love for him, okay? We have seen his love for us. It's defined all through Scripture. We understand that, and we thank God for his love for us. But he defines whether we love him or not. And here he's talking about the loving God. You'll love God when you comply with the Scriptures. That is, you keep he that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. That's what he said. Right. That's what the Bible says. This is not the preacher. It's not some Baptist denominational belief tonight. That's just what Jesus said. And he said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I'll love him and will manifest myself to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keeping not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Now here's what he said. If you love God, young people, if you love God, he said, you're going to keep my sayings. You'll keep my commandment. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail God. We're not preaching sinless perfection. And listen, there's been times, I've been saved for 24 years now, and going on 25. And listen, there's times I have failed the Lord. I mean, just failed him. You want me to tell you why I failed him? Because I wasn't doing what he told me to do. I wasn't doing what he told me to do. If I'd been doing what I told him to do, if I'd been loving him the way I should love him, I wouldn't have been failing him the way I was failing him. And so what I'm saying is this, to love God is to be in compliance with what he says. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I mean, I'm talking about, listen, to keep something means you hide it away right here in your heart. You've got it right here. You know better. And listen, ever since the day I got saved, and whether whatever it may be where I fail the Lord, at the end of the day, there's something on the inside of me that let me knew before anybody else said anything, you failed the Lord. It let me knew. Listen, the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, it's there. His commandments are there. And listen, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of that and shows us that, hey, man, you're going the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. You're hanging around the wrong crowd. And listen, this ain't who you are. Listen, I'm just saying, if you love him, listen, you'll be in compliance with the Scripture. The Bible said in 1 John 5, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Listen, we are not a bunch of recovering fundamentalists tonight. All right? Listen, the commandments of God, they're not grievous. That's what he's saying. Listen, if you really love God, the preaching of this book, it ain't going to offend you. Listen, if you really love God, see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times Brother Mark gets in your cornrow. Listen, it doesn't matter if he gets in your pea patch and starts digging your peas up. And listen, none of that will matter. Why? Because you love God. And I don't know about you, but I like preaching it straight. And I like honest preaching and truthful preaching. And don't be tiptoeing through the tulips. Man, just get in there and go full bore at it and let God take his word and God clean my heart. God do a work in my life. Why? Because I love him and I love his word this evening. If you love God, you'll be in compliance with the scripture. He said, it's by this that we know we love God. It's by this that when we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And listen, for a man that's out of the will of God, for a young person that's out of the will of God, listen, preaching will become so offensive to you. It'll be like, he's preaching that because he knew this. He's preaching that because somebody told him this. That's what it becomes. It becomes grievous. Church becomes grievous. Preaching becomes grievous. Why? Because we're not loving God like we ought to. And listen, I could get on. We come over this way, and I noticed the ball field was filling up with people. And I was sitting there thinking, I wonder how many of them people ought to be in church tonight. But on Sunday morning, they'll be there if they're not traveling playing ball, but they'll be there, and they'll get there, and they'll say, oh, I love God. There is a name I love to hear. They'll be back there. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. Oh, it's the sweetest name on earth. But Wednesday night, that's down the ball field. Listen, the Bible said to forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, but to be exhorting one another even so much more. That means doing it more often. As you see the day approaching, and I believe we see the day approaching, what I'm saying is this, they're not in compliance with the Bible. They're not in compliance. And listen, so Jesus said, if you're not in compliance with the Scriptures, you don't love me like you should. But if you are in compliance, you do love me. Loving God, you'll be in compliance with the Scripture. Loving God, you'll have a contempt for sin. Here's what the psalmist said. Ye that love the Lord, he's defining what love is. He hateth evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Can I just say this? If you really love God, you'll have a contempt for sin. Now, I'm going to say something. Y'all probably don't have to worry about this up here, but I've had to worry about this a few times. There won't be no defensive attitude towards sin when you love God. That is, again, you're not going to get offended at your preacher preaching on sin when you really love God. Why? Because you have a contempt for sin. The Bible said if you love God, ye that love the Lord hate evil. I hate it. It didn't say, hey, ye that love the Lord, hate people. That ain't what he said. He said, hate the evil. Listen, this month is June, is their pride month where the reprobates and the sodomites are going to magnify their pride. They're going to magnify everything about their lifestyle. And listen, I don't know about you. I see posts on social media, people saying, well, we shouldn't judge them because Jesus wouldn't judge them, and we shouldn't think evil against them because Jesus. And listen, I don't think evil against them. The judgment's already against them, and there's nothing I can do for them except tell them about Jesus. But I'm just saying this, I hate what they do. I hate what they are. And the reason I gotta hate it is, number one, because I love God, but number two, because he hates it. He don't like that. Pride. I'm just saying, if you really love God this evening, you'll have a contempt for sin. I mean, sin is not going to be something that is fun to you. It's not going to be something that you want to be involved with. We who love God will hate evil. Listen, we don't want to tolerate it. We don't want to accept it. And listen, we're not going to ignore it. We're not going to excuse it. We're not going to laugh at it. We will hate it. They brought the drag queens in several years ago in Wilkesboro. And I mean, man, them some of the ugliest dudes I've ever seen in my life. And they came in there to the Wilkes Playmakers is the name, where they do a lot of plays. And a lot of good stuff goes on there. And our piano player at that time, he went there and played in concert all the time. And they were there doing their story time. And I couldn't even believe people took their children there. But once I seen that it was there, and I said something from the pulpit about it, and then I said something on social media about it, and about our county, I cannot believe our county, our elected officials, our people are allowing this kind of stuff to come into our town to sort of reach out to our children, and a bunch of pedophiles and perverts, and listen, what they are and who they are, I hate the evil that they're involved in. I hate it. And I'm not going to ignore it, and I'm not going to excuse it. That's my county. That's my Jerusalem. That's where God has planted me. And I had something to say about it. Amen. And then the sheriff's department showed up at the church that next Sunday, because that crowd said they was going to come burn our church down. And so they said there was about seven officers pulled in and lined around the church. I didn't know none about any of it. I just said what I said, and I was done with what I said. And we went into service, and that morning there was a young mother, she came walking through the doors. And now listen, I'm not saying if you got short hair, you're a sodomite, all right? But she had really short hair. And then her daughter came in, and she had really short hair. Well, I didn't know it was her daughter at the time. They both looked the same age. Her daughter looked a little younger than her. And I thought, uh-oh. I didn't know what was going to happen. She had on real tight blue jeans. And I got up there, and I just preached. I preached the gospel that morning. And both of them ladies sit back there to my right, wept while I was preaching, just weeping. And I gave the invitation. Both of them came forward and gave their life to Christ that morning. Now, they weren't part of that crowd, but the devil had convinced me that they were. And what I'm saying is this, listen, if you really love God, you'll have a contempt for sin. We're not here to condone it. We're not here to make excuse for people. Listen, we're here to preach against it, to stand against it, keep it out of our life, and don't get in, you know, this recovering crowd that's recovering over being a fundamentalist, recovering over having rules in their home and standards in their home, whatever's wrong with these people. And listen, what they're saying is, we don't have a contempt for sin like you do. And listen, we ought to love God. We ought to. And you ought to have a contempt for sin. But I'll say number three this evening, love God with your commitment to the sheep. I'm going to hone in right here. The Bible said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, and feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, and feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Can I just tell you this, when it comes to loving God, if you really love God, you'll have a commitment to the sheep. And this ain't just to preachers here, okay? Can I just say that the church is the very heartbeat and passion of God. When you read your Bibles, the Bible said that he died for the church. He loved the church, the ecclesia. Not this building, not these four walls, not the sheetrock, not the lighting, but you and I. You're the church. I'm the church. And he has a special place in his heart for the church. He purchased the church with his own blood, the Bible said. And you cannot say that you love God, but you don't love his church. Well, preacher, I love God, I just don't like going to church. That don't make a lick of sense. He died for the church. He gave himself for the church. Every drop of blood that was shed was for the church, so he could establish the church. And listen, so it don't make no sense. If you love God, you will have a commitment to the sheep, to the church. In 1 John 4, he said, in this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him loveth him also begotten of him. What I'm saying is this: Jesus told Peter to go feed the sheep, go feed the sheep, go feed the lamb. On there is to go further and to love people and to give people the gospel and love people and give people the gospel and love people and give people the gospel and so loving God will produce a desire to serve other people and to serve other sheep. And listen, if you really love God, young people, you'll have a commitment to your church. You'll have a commitment to the sheep of your church. You say, well, I don't like Sister So-and-so. Well, we'll get that right here in a minute in the altar, all right? Well, she looked at me funny, though. That's all right. We'll get it right here. Listen, don't let crazy things like that mess you up. Have you ever, if you ever had to sit in our place, a pastor's place, and hear all the things that people get sideways about. My church knows this, point blank, period. If you want me to counsel you on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or whatever, but you didn't come to counseling session on Wednesday night, don't even waste my time. If you won't let me counsel you on Wednesday night or Sunday, but you want me to take my time away from my family and come and counsel you some other time, it don't work that way. I love sheep. But if the sheep ain't going to come be part with the other sheep and get fed with the other sheep, listen, there ain't no reason for me to go out here all the time chasing the goat around. If you ain't going to listen to preaching, you ain't going to listen to 30 minutes of me talking. That's just how, listen. But listen, when you really love God, though, you'll love his sheep. You will love his sheep. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church. And Peter could demonstrate his love for Christ. And he did demonstrate his love for Christ when he forsook everything that he knew. He forsook his own career. And all of a sudden, he begins following Christ and living for Christ. And he committed everything that he had to the care and to the purchase of the sheep. That's what he did. Why? Because he loved God. Jesus invested everything he had in a flock of sheep. He invested in them. Young people, listen, what you just done a moment ago, singing, you were investing in the sheep. You was putting something in the other sheep to help them. You was magnifying the Father, and you was feeding the flock of God by your singing. And don't ever think you ain't doing nothing. Don't ever think that your songs don't mean anything. Listen, that's your job, to minister, to help. And listen, if you really love God, you'll be committed to the other sheep. He told him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It wasn't a one-time event. He said, feed my sheep. It wasn't just a once-a-week chore he had. It was a commitment to daily. What Jesus was saying to him was, listen, I need you to do this for me. And young people, I want to tell you something. The best way to reach more young people is by being faithful, loving God. Loving God, and when you love God and they see that and they know that, and then they see your love and your commitment to the sheep, to your church, to your pastor, listen, that speaks more volumes than anything you could ever do. And so the Lord, he was looking for someone that would invest time and invest their treasure, invest their talents in what his interest was. And Peter was one of those men that he was using. He said, I want you to go feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you love me, go feed my sheep. Then I'll end by saying this. Loving God, if you really love God, do I love God tonight? A good way to know whether if you love God tonight is with your communion with the Savior. In Luke 7, the Bible said, and he turned to the women, and he said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Listen to me, young people, mamas and daddies, listen. Loving God has a lot to do with your communion. Loving God has a lot to do with the time that you spend at His feet. How much time do you spend with your tears at His feet? My boys, I love them to death. That's all I have is boys. I got a daughter-in-law now. I got a grandson. Boys, 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 boys. I do have a niece. My brother, he did have a girl. And my boys, man, I love them. I love them. And the reason I know that I really love them, and the reason that they know that I really love them, it's because when it comes time talking sometimes, I cannot do it without shedding tears out of my eye for them. My cares, my concerns, and I love them so much that I'm talking about even when they make me mad. And I've got to correct them. I have to do it. Listen, it's like turning a water fountain on. And my tears just start coming out. And I think that does more to them and for them than screaming, hollering, any of that stuff. And they still get a whooping. They're sitting there thinking, Daddy, why are you crying? You're getting ready to beat me with a bell. What are you crying for? Because I love you. Listen, your love for God this evening is defined by the communion that you have with Him. And Jesus said that this woman has loved me much because she sat at my feet and she wept. She had a lot of sin in her life. But, buddy, she loved God. Loving God means you're going to spend some time with Him. Leonard Ravenhill said, a man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God. Jude said it like this, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen, there's nothing, Romans 8 said, there's nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. He's always going to love us. Nothing can separate us. But I want to ask you something. What's the things in your life and things in my life that causes us to leave our first love? He doesn't leave us. We leave Him. Loving God's a choice tonight. I got a lot of things I'm going to preach on this week. Friday night in particular, I hope you can come. To me, it's one of the most important messages I'll preach. But this one right here is far more important than that one, because if we don't get a hold of this one, that one ain't going to matter. You got to love God, young people. Mamas and daddies, listen, I'm just being honest. Your children will not love God no more than you love God. Now, there is the exception. There is an exception. There are some young people that get a hold of this thing, and they just fought. Listen, the Wells Revival broke out because of young people's love for God. That's how it broke out. Just some young people that love God. And they said they love God. It showed that they love God. I got saved under a young lady by the name, she wasn't preaching, her daddy was. She was dead. Her name's Rachel Scott. She was killed in Columbine High School. Listen, I got saved. I'd read her story, Rachel's tears. I'd watched the story as she got killed in Columbine. And I was at home the day it happened. And then I got to hear her father preach 3 years later. And listen, God used that young lady's love that she had for Him. He used that 3 years later in my own life to let me see how much, number one, He loved me, and number two, how much I did not love Him. Do you love Him tonight? I mean, can you honestly say, young people, I love Him because the Bible defines that I love Him. Not because I say it, but because everything you just said, I love the Scriptures. I obey them. I read them. I have communion with Him. I mean, preacher, everything you said, that's my life. It's there. Listen, don't be a liar tonight. Listen, if your love ain't where it needs to be, let's get it where it needs to be. The Bible said all we got to do is confess it to him. When me and my wife, we have that, you know, that little disagreement, what we call it, we don't ever argue. We just have different opinions every once in a while. And somewhere in the day, we have to say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was upset a while ago, but I'm sorry. It's the same way with God. He just needs you to be honest with him. We just got to be honest. Our Father, we do love you.